I thought I recognized everybody, but I couldn't tell you everybody's names.
Matt Berry was the only voice that I actually recognized. Well, and Lupita, of course, but...
So I didn't recognize
her. Oh, you voice. Didn't catch Pedro's?
I knew no. Pedro.
Yeah.
I knew Pedro. Yeah,
I'm glad I can't. It would take me out of it if I could recognize everybody's voice.
I knew Ving Rhames immediately.
Oh yeah, Ving Rhames. I knew he was in it, and then when he started talking, I was like, I think that's him. But it didn't. I didn't click immediately that it was him. It took me a second. The thing that I liked about Pedro, because I saw that he was in it. I saw that he was in it. But I feel like his voice. I felt like his voice acting was really good. Like it didn't feel like. It felt like he was like really doing like a character, sort of like how Bradley Cooper is Rocket, and you know that it's him, but it's also like that's enough of a voice. Like he's doing a voice, he's doing a character voice to a degree that's like that is the character. It doesn't feel like it's you so much, you know.
I think a lot of people did well. I thought like you know even Bill Nye, I knew it was him, but like I just love him always.
How did you know? Did you look up the?
So I didn't look. I didn't see the trailer for this movie. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I didn't know about this movie till y'all told me about this movie. So like, I didn't know anybody was in it. I just know the voice, like Matt Berry. I could tell
you know Ving Bill Rhames. Nye's voice like that.
Yeah, bro. Like think
I
about
didn't
it.
Clock. I recognized it, but I didn't realize it was him.
He does
that
so
the one,
much
that was
voice
the one
work.
I was like, oh, I know him, but I didn't realize it was him.
His voice, you know I mean? Remember his voice. I knew immediately. I knew when Stephanie's voice came in, but that's only because. Right. That is only because I had just watched something 2 days ago, and I was like, "This could be her."
She was the big bad at the
end.
Right?
She was the big bad. She was
And that was another one that was like, I know this person, but I couldn't tell who it was. But I thought she was doing a great job. Like it was like, oh, and it was like, and I know they're slaying this, like recognizing the voice and how the delivery of the lines. I was like, well, I know who this person is, but I couldn't tell.
Who was Mark Hamill though? Who was he?
He was the bear.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that's who he was.
Kit Connor.
Catherine O'Hara was the possum mom.
I only know this because I looked at stuff every after. No, the possum mom, I think, was... Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Did you say Catherine O'Hara?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then the new guy was new to me, but... I heard he's wonderful in Romeo and Juliet.
I feel like I recognized his voice, so I wonder who he sounds like.
What is going on, by the way? This isn't the cold open.
I mean,
it's got to be, I think.
I think it is.
Can we talk about
talking about the movie.
This is the regular podcast, right?
We are enjoying ourselves.
Why are we going so off script? What is happening?
I don't like where Bray is going.
What are you talking about?
I just think we're supposed to do things a standard way, okay?
We're talking about
you guys are going rogue.
Don't do this.
I don't like how rebellious you're being.
Don't do this. Nope. Stop.
Just stop contributing immediately.
Kind of crazy. All right. Okay. All right.
I'm not gonna say any more.
I just don't like it. It feels like you guys.
No, don't do this.
Okay.
Right.
I won't. I'll stay in line. I won't be the wild robot.
Man. There was no escaping it. The last minute was us running away from the killer and tripping and falling.
Yes,
he was going to get us. He was going to get us no matter what we did.
No.
Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock.
James III.
Drop Milligan.
All right. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
As a parent of seven kids, six kids.
What a line.
That was amazing.
What a line.
That's a great line.
There's a lot of great lines in this, but that was the first one that came to my mind.
Dog, that was so funny. Oh my goodness.
For those of you who are listening to us for the first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
There are three of us that host this lovely podcast. You'll hear all of our voices, but you will not see us as animated characters. If you were to see us as animated characters, though.
What is happening? What are you doing?
The voice that you're listening to now would be...
Clearly be a parrot.
One of... A very cunning,
it seemed like
sly, smart, with the heart of gold fox.
No way you'll be a fox. Yeah. No way.
You know, just a little bit smarter than all the other animals.
No way you'd be a fox.
A little annoyed at all the other animals.
Oh, but, my goodness.
And it seems like a jerk, but deep down, you're like, actually... pretty good guy.
Oh, no, man. Yeah. No.
And that voice is Jonathan Braylock.
Oof, boy, that's a tough one. This voice is that of Drop Milligan.
And this voice is James the Third.
So happy. That's a lot of joy. I like that joy.
Yeah, guys. I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Joy today. A little bit of joy today. A little bit of joy.
Okay, it got creepy.
A little bit of joy today.
Okay. Oof, that got real creepy.
Today we are reviewing the film The Wild Robot. It is an animated film by DreamWorks. It stars Lupita Nyong'o as the Wild Robot. And as you heard in our cold open, many other people, Pedro Pascal, Catherine O'Hara, Bill Nighy, Ben Rhames, the list goes on. The film currently sits at 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hey, wow.
Damn, what's up with that 2%?
8% audience score.
2%? I wonder what that's about.
Well, you know what it's about. There's always a hater. It's made $53 million worldwide opening weekend. Just opened.
No.
$35 million domestic, $18 million international. International's low. I'm wondering if maybe it didn't open up in all the international places yet.
I hope not. I hope it makes more money.
Are you saying you don't know about the amount of money that it made?
Yeah.
I mean, it's number one in the box office.
Well, I mean, like you said, you didn't even know about it until
Yeah, which is shocking. I haven't seen like a poster, I can't see nothing.
Yeah, I hadn't seen a trailer. I think the first thing I saw about it was like somebody posting about it, the author of the book posting about it on Twitter, being excited that the movie is out and doing well. I think that might have been the first thing I saw about it.
It must have been from you, because I'm like, I had no idea.
It was recent. It was like a week or two ago. Whenever it was that I texted y'all, that's when I saw it.
According to Wikipedia, its budget was $78 million, which isn't crazy. And honestly, animated films have staying power. So this movie, it could make a lot of money still.
I hope so.
Yeah,
it's great.
I think it'll have strong word of mouth. Obviously, it has great reviews. This article reminded me and us of the fact that Elemental debuted with $30 million, and we thought it was going to be a bomb, and then it wound up grossing almost half a billion dollars.
True.
There's not a lot. It's not like there's a lot out. I think the next competition this will face will be Moana 2, which comes out Thanksgiving weekend.
I'm nervous because that teaser doesn't show Maui at all. We just hear his laugh at the end, so I'm nervous about Moana.
Oh, he's in the first one.
But it's a teaser.
He's in the first one.
What do you mean? In the first
like, he's in the first trailer. Yeah, he's in the first trailer.
Okay. They just took him out the second one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. All
right. Yeah, we good. We good, man.
I was like, nervous. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, they're not showing Maui. They're like, the only thing we got going for this is whenever Maui shows up. Yeah.
Nice. Now, okay. This film is based on a book series of the same name. And it's essentially about a robot that gets shipwrecked on an uninhabited island. By uninhabited, we mean uninhabited by humans. Mm-hmm. It is very habited by wildlife. and it becomes the adoptive mother of an orphaned goose. And and that's the film. And bro, we're about to jump into it because, boy, oh boy. Wow, 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 wow. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin'.
Yes, just download the Earnin' app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck.
Y'all, there are all kinds of reasons why you might need your money now. Me personally, I got a little one, and sitters are expensive. You know what I'm saying? So I can't be waiting for my check. I can't wait 2-3 weeks for my check. I need the money today. I need it now. So you know what I mean? You got to get that Earnin' app.
Speaking of, download Earnin' today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin' app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Earnin' is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location, see earnin.com/DOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Try, you just saw it. Do you first.
I don't know what to say.
Okay.
I'll go. I think this movie is freaking beautiful. I think it's a beautiful film. There have been two films that I've seen this year that I feel like have restored my love of cinema. And I mean that in a way where I'm like, these movies.
Tessa's basically said the same thing.
Did she? It's these movies. Again, I hope this movie makes a lot of money, but it was this movie and it was Sing Sing. And I'm like, these movies got made. And I feel like these movies, of course, got made for money and accolades, but they're just like beautiful films that, like, when I saw it today. It was a sold out theater at 1:30. It was the IMAX at the Grove, bunch of kids everywhere. And it was me. It was me, a mom, her two kids. And you could tell, like, one of the kids was wild. So the mom was like looking forward for the movie to start. But then midway through the movie, not even midway, maybe early on, I was sniffling, bro. I was in it. I was in it early.
Wow.
The moment she got to the planet and then all the animals was running away and then she was by herself. I was tipping. Then when the goose hatched and then she had to like teach him how to fly and they were like, oh, he shouldn't even be alive. Like he's a runt. Like no one will look out for him. Like I was like, oh my God, bruh. Whole movie wreck. At one point, I'm not gonna lie to you. I looked at my watch because I was like, I need this experience to be over because I didn't come in prepared. You know what I'm saying? For that movie and for Sing Sing, I didn't watch trailers for either one. And I just physically wasn't prepared for the emotional journey that these movies were going to be. Because, like, this movie was about, you could say it was about motherhood. You could say it was about family. You could say it was about coming together. You could say it was about, like, I mean, literally the Fox has a speech at the end where he's like, I don't have no friends. He's like, if I want to tell you something, who can I say it to? Like, that was the saddest shit I've ever heard in my life, yo.
So many lonely animals.
Yes. Oh my God, dog. I mean, I love this movie. I don't know how we're gonna go bit by bit because this was rough for me, bro. I'm not gonna lie to you, guys. Do y'all remember at the beginning? Okay, at the beginning when like before she crushes before she runs into the bear and crushes the eggs or whatever, she's just trying to get the deer to like help. And like everyone's just running away from her, then she gets hit by the deer in the back and goes the moose and goes flying, and like she just looks so sad. I was like, "You can't Wally me, y'all Wally me, bro. They Wallied us again. I can't. This felt like the
they Wallied us.
I can't.
They Wallied us again.
This is my last thing I'm gonna say because of Wally and now because of this movie. And I walked to go see this movie. I passed like the little robots that deliver food. And now, you know, the robots got names on them and shit. So like, you know, you look at the robot's name would be like, you know, John or some shit. And the eyes move on the robots now. So the eyes go big and small. And I'm like looking at a robot that almost bumped into me. And I was like, oh my God, I apologize to a goddamn robot.
Oh my goodness.
Like, I can't, guys.
All right. Well, I don't know if I can.
Yo, I'm sorry. I'm done. It's a wrap.
I can't support the sympathy that you've developed.
James, I didn't want to trust him. But they won me over, James.
Artificial intelligence.
I saw a robot go around an elderly woman today, and I was like, I don't understand what's happening in the world. But anyway, loved it.
Its sensor went off.
James, the robot can see.
James,
you're not going to do this today. Okay, you're not doing this today. I'm done.
Should I go?
Sure.
Yeah, this film was fantastic. The animation is so beautiful. It's stunning. It's like it, and it feels different than what we've seen in quite some time. You know, I don't quite know how they do this, you know, but it definitely felt like it felt closer to like what 2D animation used to be, like hand-drawn animation used to be, you know?
Yeah.
Also, the colors are so bright, it was just very pretty to look at. Yeah, and it was very touching. There were so many different storylines that I could relate to. I also wound up thinking about my pets a lot, thinking about my dogs a lot. And there were a lot of moments where the animals cuddle up next to each other, you know, and they're just looking for companionship.
Yeah.
And warmth. And it just was oh, everybody just wants love, you know, that's ultimately all beings, we just want love. There's also very cool, it was low key, a dystopian future, which was, I thought that was fun how they just kind of dropped that in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this was a great film and you know, I think the thing about our podcast, obviously we review films of leading Black actors, the history of animated films has been so white, which is crazy because you don't know what people look like and therefore you don't really, you know, I still feel this way. I'm like, they don't really need to have famous people, you know what I mean? These animated movies, and it's fine that they do, but I've always been animation, we don't see the people. So if they have a good voice, let them act. Anyway, that's all to say that I love the fact that Lupita was the star of this. Cause I just feel anyway, not to jump ahead to the cause or anything, but it just felt like it was just so cool that was a reality. And yeah, I really, really enjoy this film.
Yeah, I also thought the film was great. You talking about the history of animated black people in voiceover acting, it made me think of, this is a sidebar, but Gary Leroy Gray plays Sam in Rocket Power, which is a young, 10-year-old white guy, and Gary is black, and it's one of those weird moments of that never happened. he pioneered in this absurd way. But I loved this movie. I was latching on to all of the parent stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And also was really moved by the opening two. I was like, why are they making me feel so deeply for this robot immediately? I felt so bad. I felt so I think the first line is, you know, I'm a this robot and we have tasks and we always complete our tasks. And we immediately set up whatever it is that this robot, and I didn't know anything about it either. I didn't know what the premise was.
This robot is not going to complete a task.
No.
Yeah, this task is going to be really hard, whatever it is. And Lupita's performance is really, you really feel the humanity of this robot. You really feel it. And so, yeah, the thing I latched on to, it's similar to what you're talking about of the cuddling, but I specifically was really moved by every time the Gosling was annoying too. but the Gosling was annoying just because they wanted to participate.
Oh my goodness.
Just wanted to participate in whatever you're doing. I'm following you because you are I've imprinted on you. You mean so much to me. I want it. Here's a little stick. Will this fit on the
the little sticks?
The robot is like, I just want to finish my job. I just want to do I just want to build this thing and then be done with this thing. And I, and so all of that stuff was, that particularly was really moving for me. But like also the adapting and changing of programming to now become like, I'm only going to be able to finish this thing if I become something else, if I figure out how to adapt and become a new thing. I was so moved by this movie. By the end, I was like holding on the whole time, but then at the, it was like the last minute, the last minute of the movie is when I felt the welling coming up. It was like,
when they were fighting, part, like when they were trying to.
No, I think I literally think specifically the very end where it's like, she's like, I'm going to leave because that's better for you.
Mm, right.
Like, it's been the only way for you to survive is for me to do that. I was like, oh, man.
Go ahead. Go. Sorry.
Yeah. But no, but just, and the evolution of the relationship to the Gosling that the robot has to have, like a teacher has to come in. There's certain things you can't do. A teacher has to come in to teach them these things that you don't do. And then when they go off on their own, you're feeling like, are they going to be safe? All of that stuff. It was too much. Truly, every beat of this was the parenting element of it was really strong for me. So, yeah, I can't wait to talk about all this.
You know what it is? I'm very fascinated when we get to it because your parent, Maddie, started daycare, right? Like recently?
Yeah, she just started. She just started. So there was a point, month ago. Yeah.
The point in the movie where listen to the thing. I was trying to be cool because people could hear me sniffling. So I was like, I'm trying to be whatever. And also I was like, it's probably getting to the end. I can't just walk outside with red eyes. But it wasn't the end. And when it was time for him to like fly off, right? With the other people.
I mean, literally fly off. I mean, let me just also say that. It's a bird. The bird has to fly away. Like just, it's just really perfect.
I thought about like you and my other friend who has like a 3-0, and I was like, yo, I can't. At the one point when Lupita's talking to the fox, and then all of a sudden she starts running to the edge to see him, and then the long neck is like, oh, I see her. Let's do the flying V so she can be proud. Nigga, my God. When they do the flying V, and then they lock eyes.
That's so funny.
They lock eyes and she's like, you got to go. You got to go. And he's like, I gotta go. I'm with the people now. You help me, Ma. I'm like, oh, bro, I can't. Like,
it was too much.
Oh.
It was literally too much. This movie was, I just rewatched Up and the movies like this that are like literally just trying to kill whoever's watching it. They're trying to murder us emotionally. they're trying to rip and pull at all of our emotions. And this one is up there. It's really, it's doing
leave
all of
us
that.
Alone. All right, let's just start. Like, I can't.
Yeah. This movie starts off right off the bat. It like just gets into it. This robot is crashing we see like a flashes of a storm. I don't think we see anything crash or anything.
No,
right?
It's already there. It's like we see the beavers first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we equally
or
like,
the otters, right?
Otters.
Part of Lupita's thing or Roz's thing is like, I don't really know how I'm here, why I'm here, or what's going on. And I think also adds to the mystery of like, are there any humans? Like maybe there are no you know. That stuff too was coming.
Well, it was
up
interesting because it's like at the beginning of the movie, I thought what made the most sense was like a plane crashed or a boat crashed or something. And these robot, I mean, initially we only see this first robot, and she's like crashed up on the shore and the otters are like swimming in the waves and they're like looking at it. And one of them presses the button and it turns it on. And she's like, hey, I'm like this robot. I'm here to complete tasks. But it's also like the robot's like trying to sell stuff. Like you could go on this vacation.
Like, yo, it was insanity.
Like low key, just like a, you know what I mean? I was like, this is so real too. Yeah. I was like, of course, like when they make AI for us to have in our home, it's going to be selling us stuff constantly. It's going to be like Amazon. It's going to be linked to Amazon and be like, you're just going to be like, oh man, this thing is broken. And they're like, do you want me to purchase a new thing? I could do it right now. Just say yes and I'll purchase it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a line later when they describe what their purpose is, which is like people want everything they want a life where everything is anticipated for them, which feels where we're going. Like, it's where we're going. And the fact that it's just like, yes, you never have to think about anything. No way. I can't. I want to avoid this at all costs. There's no way to stop it, but it's, I want to avoid it at all costs.
Yeah. But like already with this animation, like it looks so pretty, like them bobbing in and out of the waves.
Oh, so like, beautiful.
Yeah.
And then you got to see the water too.
All of the animals had such rich personality also. Like everyone did something. It wasn't just like there was an animal there. They all had like some sort of idiosyncrasy or something going on with them that made it so fun. So there were like so much character and behavior happening. All of them afraid of her. Right?
Everybody. Yeah, I mean, basically. And of course, how could you not? It's like this huge mechanical thing. So, I mean, like, we see like this montage of her like exploring. Basically, she's trying to figure out who her owner is.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And she's like going to all these different animals being like, are you my owner? Or are you, you know?
Did you order me?
Do you have a task for me? And they're all just like, ah. And then there's like this, she's like taking pictures of people and like making a sticker of them.
It's like basically that's when she completes it. It's like,
oh, are you satisfied?
Yeah. Are you satisfied? And then the fucking moose, when that moose.
The moose bucked her.
Man.
Wait, was that, because there's all this stuff that happens. And then at a certain point, she's like, I don't understand any of these animals.
That's before. Yeah. She doesn't understand until I think the bear hits her. Or is it before the bear? No, it's after the bear, right? I don't remember when she learns.
I think the bear, because I think she sees, we sort of get introduced to just about everybody before she decides to try to learn their language. So she might have, it's all blurry now to me, but she might have escaped the bear before trying to discern, because she then knows how to speak to everything.
Yeah.
So she's,
got it.
You know, she's interacted with enough things that she knows. There's no thing that shows up that she doesn't know its language.
Right. Basically, got it. She runs this program that's like, I'm going to learn your language. And she just sits. And like, and then it just like this like quick montage of like all these animals coming out, and it's like processing, and until it finally gets to like, okay, I know what everybody's saying. Cause I remember the part about it, like that, like, I mean, I thought it was like what a fun story device so that we get talking animals.
Yeah, same.
And it processed all that. But then the part that I loved the best was like, when she's like going and like exploring it at night, like one of the animals comes up and he's like, are you here to kill us?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's like, no. And then all of the animals start attacking her.
Instantly.
It was like, wait a minute. she said no.
Yo, that part was so, but that's when the moose, man, I'm telling you, it was something about, it was, and I think, I don't know if I'd have felt the same way if I didn't know Lupita was a lead, but it was something about this robot, and then also knowing, I think something about knowing that this robot was like a black woman just trying her best to like help everybody.
That's
and
funny.
Like nobody wanted it.
Right.
It was like they did a really good job. And I think Bray is right about the animation. Like when the moose hit her, bucked her, like she just laid there, like she got up and kind of like just like laid for a second. And I'm like, man. You know that feeling when shit just is rough and all you can do is just fucking sit there for a little bit. Oh, that shit broke me, man.
Yeah. And they also establish later that this robot does get, because they don't have the ability to recharge or whatever's going on with their heart, that they have to like, they need to have these moments of respite. They need to like sit down and like, they need the sun to like graze them or whatever it is. But it was a combination of a couple different things. And that too, I thought also like really added to the humanity of the robot, because the robot would literally get tired. Because
you know what? Those goddamn raccoons, all right? The raccoons.
Oh my goodness, the
ruined
raccoons.
Everything like raccoons do, okay?
All right. The fact that the Robot could have just gone home immediately.
It kept trying.
And then just kept trying to go home and then couldn't because of the damn raccoon.
Yeah. At a certain point, it was like, okay, it seems like none of y'all need my help. I guess I'll just go home.
And then the raccoons made her life a living hell.
Okay, right. And then the bear is why she hits the thing. Okay, so that's when we see.
Oh, yeah. Running from the bear is how she breaks the eggs and kills the mom.
And that's only because she's trying to get her little, her jail thing. Because the raccoon stole it. Fucking raccoons, man.
Yeah,
which is so interesting for what ends up being this character's journey, because it's like a bunch of animals die because of protocol. Like, oh, I gotta make sure I have this thing. But then it becomes, you know, she literally flips the opposite of this, becomes the rest of the movie, which becomes the journey of the rest of the movie, which is, again, it's very well written.
It's beautiful.
Like, we literally experienced the death of animals because of having the number one prerogative being I have to go back to whatever head home base is, to now, like, I must save everyone. Like, I'm every living creature here I must protect.
Man, when she also, it was so crazy because when she held up the wing, it took me a second to kind of figure out what's going on. And I was like, oh, no. Also, what's so crazy is that on Rachel's balcony, like, I like animals. I don't mess with birds. So I don't mess with birds.
Why not? What's wrong with birds?
Birds?
I don't like bird poop. Bird poop bothers me. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast yet, but it does bother me. It's bothered me my whole life.
Birds, they can swoop down. I've had bad experiences with seagulls, pigeons. I just don't fuck with flying birds, bro. I can't defend myself with a bird, okay?
But the non-flight birds are fine.
Yeah, you give me a non-flight bird. Yeah, I'm cool with a non-flying bird. But like on Rachel's.
You're cool with an ostrich?
Yeah, bro, because I'm not going near an ostrich.
An ostrich will knock you out.
And I know that. That's why I'm not going.
But you dodge it. You're like, oh, I'm going to bob and weave.
That swooper, I can't figure that out. But anyway, what I'm going to say is like she has on her balcony, or she did, a pigeon had laid eggs. And like at one point we saw like hawks and everybody trying to come and get the eggs. And then finally, like only one of the eggs survived. Like I don't remember how it was. I think it was like four, but only one survived. And so seeing this moment, I was very curious about like what the moment of killing something was going to do to the to the robot. Like I didn't realize she was going to find an egg to take care of. But I was like, oh, is this going to be like a, like, I didn't know. I was like, what journey is this death going to cause this robot to go on? And when she found that egg, I was like, oh, no, she got to raise a kid.
You know, it gave her a purpose. But then it was like, whoa, am I equipped for this?
Yeah.
When the possum, she runs into the possums now, right? This is when we first meet the possums, or maybe it's the second time we've seen them.
Yeah, we've seen them a couple times.
But when the possum says, this is your task now, knowing full well how impossible this is about to be, that really, my heart sank. It was like, oh no, what's going to happen to this poor robot?
The robot was like, hey, I can't handle this.
Yeah,
I see some other animals. Go hang with these other animals. Also, that little robot, like, oh, so cute. That little bird. It was like what is it? A goose? A gosling?
It's a goose.
Yeah,
but their babies are called goslings.
Oh, when little gosling was like running under her feet and like just bouncing on top of her, I was like, this is the cutest freaking thing. I thought it was going to stay a baby the whole movie. I thought it was going to be like just a baby that she had to look after.
Yeah.
When they was building the home, that was so funny.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, building the home. Yeah, that was great.
And when he said, what did he say? Just get out the way. Oh, he repeated her, like, get out the way, I'm gonna just sit here or something. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, okay, wait. Yeah, this was also, so this is the thing that's happening for me right now, which is like I'm thinking a lot about like every little behavior and how Maddie's gonna pick up on everything. But specifically, like the way that this it's presented in this, where the Gosling mimics it immediately. Yeah. It's that it feels like that. Like it feels like
does it?
It feels like the second you do something, the baby's like, that's how we have to do. Like this is how right. things are done.
That's so interesting.
You're like,
Which is, do you find yourself? Oh yeah, go ahead. Find yourself, James, now like changing how you like just
merely
exist
trying
in a world?
To merely trying to like the way that this robot is able to like the way when the robot's like my whole programming has been I rewrote my whole programming.
Yeah,
I'm you know. I wish I had that efficiency. Like I wish I was able to just turn a thing off because it that part of it has really been crazy. But then the way that things, you know, the things that are subliminally also rubbing off, like when the Gosling does grow up, which is skipping ahead a little bit, but when the Gosling does grow up and it's like saying things like processing, it's just behaving like as if it hasn't met another animal, which it certainly has,
right?
but specifically the behavior from the robot is rubbing off on him in this strange way. Is like that's my biggest fear. Is like what's Maddie's processing? What's her that? what is the way she's going to be doing stuff like that?
Right.
That there's nothing I can do because
right. you're like, oh,
it's
man.
Just who I am. It's literally just who I am. And so then she's going to have some of that stuff, whatever that is. Yeah.
Which is so interesting because I don't have kids, but I was around my godson for a long period of time and I would get text messages. Because again, what you're saying makes so much sense. But I think in my mind, I was like, oh, as long as I don't curse around this kid, I'm good. Like, in my mind, I'm like, that's all I got. Like, as long as I don't curse around this kid.
You probably are. Like, I mean, that is, you are good if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, I'm probably good. But then my friend would send me text messages of like, I got a video of him laughing. And then she was like, why does he sound like this? And I was like, oh my God, I'm so, I remember being like, that, my laugh, this laugh is annoying. I am
it's
so sorry.
Laugh.
I'm so sorry he does that because. I hate laughing, like especially like a ha! Like it sucks. I'm sorry. Like you got a 2.5-year-old who just laughs like a grown ass man. I'm so sorry.
They just pick so up sorry. On it. They just they are sponges, and so even when you even before you think they're soaking something in, they're soaking it in, and it's like a weird. It's like, and when's that even gonna come out? Like it may not even come out right now. It might come out in 15 years, where it's like, oh, that thing you did. On day four of their life. Anyway.
This movie does something that I think is really cool. Is when they introduce the fox, the sly fox.
Mm-hmm. Stealing the egg.
Stealing the egg. But then when he comes back, he, of course, is like trying to finagle the system. Like, hey, I'm probably even going to try to eat this egg. Or at least I can use you to get food.
Wait, there is that really funny line where he was like, yeah, no. No, I'll definitely help you take care of the egg. And he's like, oh, great. And the robot puts the egg right in front of him. He's like, what are you doing?
I might eat this.
What do you just believe anything anyone tells you? And the robot was like, yes. And he's like, okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. And so that's what I want to get to, Bray. It's like, in my mind, at one point, I was so nervous that this fox was going like switch up or something. And I'm so happy that never freaking happened. Like the moment that house was built, the fox was on board. You know what I mean? It was like, hey, I got food, I got shelter. I'm sorry. Yeah, the moment the house was built, well, he was there.
It went from like the fox was like, okay, I can use this robot for my own game. You know, all I have to do is not kill this little. If I let go of this little egg, I can get so much more. Like it's gonna build me a habitat, it's going to get me food and all this stuff. He's like, so that's great. But then obviously as the story develops, the fox actually is like, oh, I have a friend, you know, which that's the beautiful thing. Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
When that fox says, when they're like, okay, he has to eat, you know, it was the eat, swim, fly. And when they're trying to teach, first off, the montage is quick, but the montage of, we skipped it, but the robot trying to do these things, like trying to give the bird food is like a pine cone. Then she shoots him out straight into the sky. Like, and it's like, she's just really bad at all of it. But when that fox, when she finally tries to let him swim, and that fox goes, "Hey, you probably shouldn't get too attached. That's called a runt. Like he wouldn't have,
right?
He wouldn't have lived anyway. You know what I mean?" Right. Just something about, and again, I know this talks about parenthood, but something about a society that gives up on somebody before they start is just,
yeah.
Like, and if you think about it,
this movie is as much about that as it is about as it is about parenting.
You're right. That, you're right.
It's everybody except the robot and then Long Neck fully doubted this bird.
I mean, he doubted himself. Like, it's one of those things where I think when you grow up without encouragement, you start to believe the lack of that. Or if like, because technically Roz was encouraging, but everything else was so difficult. Because physically, he didn't have long wings like everybody else. He didn't have an actual bird to teach him like everybody else. And so everything he had to achieve was just going to be so much harder. And you can see that. I could just relate to that frustration in a way where it's like you're working harder than everybody to just do the same shit. Like literally, all he's trying to do is just fly and swim at one point. Like not fast.
The stuff that should be normal. The stuff that should be natural.
Yeah.
The stuff that should just, you know, eventually he can just do it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my man had to go on a Rocky training montage. You know what I'm saying? Like at one point he was lifting rocks. You know what I mean? Like he is.
This was another moment too that hit me where it was like, man, this bird grew up too fast. You know, like it was like, oh, it feels like this bird grew up too fast, but it's like, no, it'd be like that. Like, like they're out of the house immediately.
That's what's so crazy about this is I was talking to my cousin today, and she is 17, about to turn 18. She's a senior in high school. And I'm talking to her, and out of nowhere, I remember I was like, yo, I remember when you were born, I was like drunk, passed out on your mom's couch. Like I couldn't stumble because the baby was sleeping in the other room. So I had to like, if I had to throw up or something, I had to go outside, you know what I'm saying, in a bush. Sure. And I'm like, that baby is a senior in high school.
Is about to be drunk, passed out.
Yes, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Literally.
That baby is about to be doing exactly what you did.
I'm like, what the hell is this?
I hate it.
I do too, but it was something about this movie that just was so beautiful in not only how the relationship between Lupita and what is his name?
Bright Bill.
But it was something about them and the society of animals they were in that I really, really enjoyed. Yeah. Cause they were still mean. They were still mean to Lupita up almost until the end. They were still mean to Bright Bill up until the end.
They grew up I don't know how long the time was necessarily, but it's like basically Bright Bill grew up his whole life where he was an outcast by everyone, not just his own flock, but like he saw his who he felt like was his mother also be an outcast as well. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone still felt like this robot, even though the robot wasn't trying to harm anybody, was like, oh, you're a monster. You know, you don't belong here kind of thing.
I think it was a matter of months. And I don't know what that is in the reality of a goose's life, but they said by the fall, you know, so they were like, it needs to be by the fall. So,
oh, right.
Yeah, that was...
I mean, even then, they were like, when he was like, man, it be your own people. When he was so excited that he was swimming, and then, like, they were so mean to him. The other geese, they were so freaking mean to him, talking about the monster. And then, low-key, they were about to drown him, dying? Yo. They were about to drown him, because he couldn't really swim.
Yo, him swimming, the bird swimming like a human, that was so funny.
Yo. Are you sure this is right? Are you sure this is right?
But then he could do it.
He was like kind of doing it. Yeah. But it's just, they were like, are you?
Yeah, they were like, wait a second.
Are you dying?
Are you dying? Yeah. Why does everyone keep asking me that?
So good, man. It was so good. I felt so bad when he was like, also, okay, so this is my thing. I think if this was a different movie, Bright Bill would have been Frankenstein. And what I mean by that is like when he meets the other geese, they instantly start teasing him. And literally at one point you realize he doesn't understand violence. Because he's like, hey, like when they like bit his wing, he's like, hey, right.
That
like,
caused a pain response.
Yeah, unwanted pain response. And they start to literally drown this man. And so if you remember, like, you know, the actual book of Frankenstein, like he is a sweet, like he's a baby. He's a fucking baby. He looks, in general, he's a baby. He escapes, goes to see the town, and then people treat him like shit in like very horrible ways to turn him against everybody.
Yeah.
And I think about that sometimes with how we treat like our people who live with disability. Like I was out recently and there was a gentleman who had a facial disfigurement, and you could see like kids staring, but also you never saw the parents stop them. Or like explain, not even stop them, but just do the explanation of like, hey, this man looks a little different. And I remember growing up like that with my stepdad, and I would get fucking furious, whereas he would let it go. And I'm like, all you need is a parent to say, hey, that guy looks a little different. Like, explain it. Explain it in a way that is simple. And to see his own people, because what's the phrase? Not all kinfolk is skin, was not all skinfolk is kinfolk.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this is one thing that does bother me a little bit. And I feel like black people go through this a lot, where it's like, we have to prove our worthiness. Like sometimes you watch these movies and it's like a fish out of water movie. It's like the black man or black woman has to go save the mean white kids from like the burning building. Then the town likes him. And in this movie, people start cheering Lupita after, you know, she of course gets him to learn how to fly, but they don't like her until she's half dead after saving their asses from freezing. You know what I mean? The other geese don't like my boy until he saves their asses from dying. And I'm like, fine. Turn the other cheek, if you will.
Yeah, it's interesting because it feels like the lesson that they stories like this want to convey is that, you know, you should care for others the way you would want people to care for you. Like that's what that's the message they want to convey. But it does seemingly convey these slightly other things, which is like, I only care because this person, you know, I can only care because this person helped. Well, can they do something for me? You know, what can they do for me? Okay, all right, fine. Then now I can, you know, like it's like, it seems like the point and then what the like subliminal messaging or even what like, which I think, which is part of the frustration that you have with some of these movies derives, like, why does the black person have to be the better? You know, like, it's like now you've watched 30 years of cinema that has been like, it's all been the person of color being the bigger or better person in the scenario. And it's like, I don't want to see that anymore.
Sure. You
know? It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I feel like one of the bigger lessons the movie was trying to teach was like, basically like it only takes like one person to like change, to like stop the cycle of fear. Like one of the big things about this whole movie was like the fox being like, hey man, like this is the wild. This is how things work. This is my nature. My nature is this, you know, like this is how things go. Like it's predators eat prey, you know, like that's what we do. Like, that's just how it is. And like, obviously we actually get the literal line, like, you know, I do think we can like, I forgot exactly how it was phrased, but essentially something like we can strive beyond our nature. Like we can go beyond our programming. And to me, like, that's the beauty of like humanity, like the idea of like evolving beyond like our base instincts, you know, the animalistic like survival stuff. And it's the thing, it's the reasons why I get so frustrated with, you know, this isn't a political podcast, obviously. But the reason I get
ever
this isn't a political
the reason I no, it's not a political podcast.
It's
but
not.
The reason I get so frustrated with this idea of like, well, like survive, like the pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, the idea of like, you know, survival of the fittest, like it's not personal, it's just business, like all this, like the like gross, you know, capitalism, like only the strong survive, or like do it by yourself. All this stuff is like, no, the whole point of humanity is that we don't have to be that. We don't have to have like the laws of the jungle. You know, we can strive to be better than that. Yeah. Anyway, I love the idea of that. And I guess like to temper it a little bit, the robot had somewhat more power than the animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at least most of them, right? You know, the bear after up, but you know.
I mean, that's a bear, bro. Ain't nobody rocking with that bear. That bear was woohoo.
But anyway, should we just talk about that moment? I mean, we were like kind of skipping towards the end, but that's okay.
Which one?
Like, well, there's three moments. There's three big moments. It's like, we kind of talked about it a little bit already, but Bright Bill finds out from the other geese that Roz killed her mom, his mom accidentally, but did. And that's the end, and is not her real mother. And so that obviously puts like this, you know, this like this huge painful divide between them. But she still helps her, you know, still helps Bright Bill. Bright Bill is like going to fly away with the geese. And like, so there's a goodbye that happens. But before they get to say goodbye, Roz is like, oh, I should have said that I loved you, and like never got to say that, you know.
He said he felt the same thing too. So did Bright Bill.
Yeah. Yeah. And they both kind of felt that way, but they didn't get to say it. And then this is also when we start to see like what the actual world looks like, because as the geese are flying south, we see them fly past the Golden Gate Bridge, which is completely submerged underwater. You know, we see them fly past like city ruins, you know, and we're like, oh, okay, like clearly like global warming and environmental disasters have like reshaped the earth, and like humans are not living the same way that they are. And there was a part of me that actually thought there were no humans left, which I think maybe I would have liked better. I mean, I don't know what you would do at the end, but I don't know. There was a part of me that was like, oh, cool, there are no humans. And then we find out there are humans. They're living in these like biodomes. I don't quite understand why the robot... Anyway, I don't know if we have to talk about that. What? I didn't quite understand what was so important about the robot.
Oh, it was only one of... You mean to the other robots?
Yeah, yeah.
They said she was one of six, period, and all had crashed. Except, so basically, I think they lost all of them but her. Right. So she was like the only...
And I think they also... She also says that like how you have adapted to not specifically translate animals or whatever, but the self-adapted programming that was they were like, we want to that information is going to be really great for us.
Right.
And so that's what they were trying to get her for that reason.
Yes,
they did also say that that chief among those types of robots were the Rozes. Mm-hmm. And I guess there are only a handful.
So during all this, we basically get like a scene where Bright Bill gets to be the leader because he's not as freaked out by the robots who start. They have like, also, this was crazy, by the way. I was like, why would you have some robot come out and try to shoot a bunch of geese in your biodome?
Yo.
This feels like a crazy overreaction.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, there's got to be something else.
A lot of geese.
A non-lethal to humans gas or something.
Yeah, or your structure. Like, you're destroying your plants and stuff. Like, what are you doing?
Also, I'm not gonna lie, I had so many questions about humans. Like, where were they? What was happening? Why we weren't on Earth? Like, what did we fuck up? Like, what did we do? But anyway, that's for maybe the
sequel. It felt like global warming, maybe, because then the storm being like such a
pet. Yeah, because they're also sort of, it's not terraforming, but they were like in whatever they were farming, where they landed. Yeah. So they were like farming where they're
like were. The earth is not conducive to this.
That makes sense because the Golden Gate Bridge was flooded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and
right.
also at the very, and also the storm, like the wildlife not being able, like not being able to survive the storm feels like,
right.
You know, like, oh, this storm is more, way more extreme than it usually is. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. They were like, we're not going to talk about this directly, but we will show you several very blatant imagery.
Like, so. Right, I mean, I'll tell you this right now. Like, you know, I know people say Gloom of Woman ain't real, but. Los Angeles has had five to six earthquakes this year.
If global warming is real, if global warming is real, then why do I need a jacket in the winter? Explain that to me.
Oh man, God. Anyway,
this world.
But then, yes, now we get the winter storm montage where the robot, I mean, I love that, like the robot like was like kind of falling asleep and then it like when it woke up, like Fox was there and it was like, Fox, like, why are you here? And he's like, that storm got to me in my den and my den is deep.
Like, yeah. And we saw it. Yeah. They showed it.
Yeah. And they were like, I bet other people are not surviving. And he's like, oh, are other people in need of assistance? And he's like,
I know.
I mean, they could all just die.
Yeah, she's like, why would you want to kill everybody? Yo.
I mean, I get it.
But also, again, this is something to like, and again, I think if I didn't know this was Lupita, I wouldn't put it on there, but I feel like black women always go above and beyond when I feel like they just, like there have been times where I'm like, yo, they'll be fine. Like y'all ain't got to do this. Yeah, like they'll be fine. And like again, I think about every march, every protest. Like I think about when it's time to get rights. I'm like, oh yeah, black women. And so the fact that this robot is going through all this hell to get these goddamn animals, none who were nice to her. She got a wooden foot or ankle. Okay, so she's struggling out here, getting frostbit. I'm like, man, she over here building Noah's Ark for these people. But honestly, it was beautiful. I just was hoping she didn't die. Because at one point early on, when she was leaking with her leg, they were like, are you okay? I'm fine. And I was like, don't y'all kill this robot, bro.
There were actually a couple times where I was like, oh, no, I'll be okay if she dies. You know, like from a, like just sort of separating myself from the story and being like, oh, I think maybe she needs to. There were a couple times. But then her not dying, like the way that it does move, I think is stronger. I think, like I like the sort of idea that family is forever, kind of, you know.
Well, we also had to get her reunited with. Right, yeah, though. That robot wasn't about to die.
I mean, we got to see her reunite with Brian. Yeah, Bill. Yeah, I mean,
the robot wasn't about to die there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I legit thought that robot wasn't going to make it to the end. And I was like, I cannot handle this. I was like, I can't.
Yeah, but also, it didn't. Fox had to be the one to stop all the animals from fighting because the robot was so out of it, which that was cool.
Yeah. 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 That is true.
Yeah.
Robot did. I mean, listen, the what's his name? Think, is that his name?
Think
the fox. Think.
Yeah.
I thought he was freaking fantastic. I was like, the way he was on board with everything from the beginning. And Think.
Yeah, I also heard Think, but it's Fink with a which is a more makes more sense.
That makes way more sense. That makes way more sense. When he came back, okay.
Bright Bill comes back
and then
they reunited.
But then technically they don't get reunited immediately.
They don't get, yeah.
It's like then the robots, then the humans are coming for.
Yeah. Ugh,
guys.
Because it's like, all right, it's not, I think I've done everything. I'm gonna go back and he use the thing, but then he turns it off, but then the robot finds him. And so yeah, then we get Stephanie Hsu playing a wicked villain who wants to take it back and And then in the process, they start destroying the forts with fire, which I was also like watching this being like, God, humans ruin every... I know it was, yes, it was another robot, but it was like on humans' behalf. So I was just like, humans ruin everything.
Yes, yes, everything.
Just destroying. It's like we hadn't destroyed nature enough in this film. We got to destroy it some more. But then they all come together. Also, when they were like, there's only one animal big enough to stop this. Did you guys understand what they meant? Because at first I was like, what?
I was thinking of another animal. Because why would you say another animal?
I knew.
You knew it was the tree.
I knew because I was waiting for the tree.
Yeah. But is the tree an animal?
They did.
I was waiting
set
for the
up.
Tree in this moment specifically.
But is the tree they said there's not? They said animal, right? Am I tripping?
I guess they were meant the
beaver.
Yeah, so then it's like they either mean the forest itself, or they mean the
was the beaver the
character.
Same?
He's so as he's the so big.
Woodchuck. Is that the same guy?
I think so. The one who made her. Right? I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was Paddler, played by Matt Berry from What We Do in the Shadows. That was the most recognizable voice.
New York City. Yo, hey, Matt, hey, you're great. I don't know if he listens, but you deserved that Emmy nomination, okay? You deserved it. Like, I hate that he lost the Emmys, man.
Wait,
I
was did like, people say he didn't deserve the
No,
nomination?
I just feel bad that all the comedians didn't win. Like, I just feel like...
For
all
acting,
of them couldn't win.
Nah, James, they all could have won,
but
man.
None of them won.
They all could have won, James.
What are you talking about?
All of them can't win.
A great comedian from Jeremy from The Bear.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh, this is public. Wait, Jeremy's great. Okay. Anywho. Anyway, that whole moment, them all banding together was so nice, and there were a lot of like almost crying moments, I feel like, throughout this whole, all of these sequences.
Yeah. Almost. Shit. I was done. At this point, I was done, bro.
Yeah. And then the robot just being like, can I just have the one memory of of my child? And they're like, nah.
But Stephanie set that up so well. She was like, I may seem nice. I have no compassion. I have no this. Yeah. I don't do that. I was like, wow. Like, they set her up so well.
Also, the score for this movie was incredible. The score for this movie kept making me want to cry. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Anywho. They save the forest. The big tree finally goes down. It causes the river to reroute, so the water comes in and puts out the fire. They wind up destroying all of the robots that are after them and the ship. But as Roz says, they're going to keep coming for me. I got to get out of here because they'll just keep coming for me.
But we fought so hard to get you to stay.
I know. Guys,
I don't know what's gotten on in my older life. I've turned into a weakling, yo. So I just ain't got it. Like, there'd be times when things happen in movies when I was younger, I'd be like, that's crazy. Now?
Is this when the fox, and this is when the fox, I mean, the fox's speech here about
Bray,
like,
don't bring up the speech, Bray.
Yeah.
This is when the speech.
Hold on. I have a friend. Who else is going to like listen to me? You're like, yeah, that was, whoa.
My man said, he talks about love, how he never had a friend, how, like, I remember the exact line, what happens if I want to tell you something and you're not here? And you're not here? and then he just puts his head down. I'm like, bro, I can't do this. And then the bear comes over.
And then the bear, you can tell it to me. And then the other animals came up to
me. Oh, my God.
And me.
Oh. Guys. Oh,
yeah, that was too much.
Guys, come on, man.
I don't know how this works though, because the bear need to eat and the bear still need to eat.
This ain't gonna last too long. That's for sure.
I don't know what they're gonna do, but it was beautiful.
Remember, the bear was like, "I'm gonna be chasing you tomorrow." Just kidding.
This so you know, I'm gonna be chasing you soon.
I was like, man, when Bright Bill was chasing the ship, and then when he made it. Because at first, I didn't realize when she was looking at the geese, and I was like, oh, that's a beautiful little image. But then when he walked up and she remembered him, I was like, oh, y'all gonna hit me with the...
Yeah. But you can call me Roz. And there was that little spot that just remembered, just reset everything.
Ugh, bro.
Beautiful film. A beautiful film.
Get her out of there.
Beautiful film.
Sneak her out. Get her back to the forest. Like... Get her out, man. She ain't there just getting, she ain't there planting the humans oranges. Oranges? Oh, man.
She had to do it for her kid.
Who wrote this movie?
There's also that moment when she is about to say, my kid, but then doesn't. She's like, thank you for taking care of my. Yeah. Come on. That's your little kid. That's your kid. Don't do this. you raised that little goose. Don't do this to yourself.
Man, the whole time I was watching this movie, I was like, man, could I have a kid? I was in there. I was like, I go through this area. I was like, could I? Man, that's every day. James, you got a kid every day.
It never ends.
Every day.
It never ends. Her task was to fall, and she was like, you know what? It's not to fall. she was like, all I gotta do is get this baby to college. No, I don't. No, I don't.
Oh my goodness.
I have this kid until I'm dead. Anyway, they didn't do the part where the kid takes care of that would have been interesting too. The kid takes care of the robot. Which clearly is on its way because the robot was falling apart, but that's next too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Beautiful film.
Did you guys like the ending?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best way it could end it. Like with the, I think I liked the ending.
Like I said, there were a couple times where I thought, like, you know what, I actually think this robot could die, and it would be. Mm-hmm. It would be like okay story wise for this to happen, but you know the fact that the robot is sort of able to like maintain. There's something beautiful about the robot being able to be like they'll never be able to take my love for you. You know,
yeah.
There's something beautiful about that. So us being able to see that realized is what's nice. Yeah,
fucking A, man.
Well, great movie. Time for the cause. Rate and review Black films not based on how much we like it, but whether or not it helps the Black cause
fist.
Of leading Black actors in Hollywood.
Black
well,
fist.
People don't even know what you're talking about. And to
Black
so I'm going to understand.
Fist.
1, 2, 3, 4, fist.
So here we go. If we believe a film fully
a
helps
fist.
The cause, we give it
Black
a Black fist.
Fist.
If we feel like
yes, it go to the mountaintop.
Somewhat
Why
helps
is it
the cause. We give it a white palm.
Ooh,
if we feel
palm,
like it doesn't help the cause at all, we give it
I'm at the
nothing.
Right now.
So let's
no fist for me.
Let us review this film on the count of three. One, two, three.
Black fists. Ooh.
All right, three black fists.
Ooh.
All right,
guys, I don't even know. I got nothing else to say. It was just beautiful, yo. I mean, honestly, I can't be crying in theaters around little kids, okay? Because you know what I had to do? I had to put my hat down low, okay, and wipe my face. And you tell you what's embarrassing about that is little kids ain't got no shame. They like, look at a little punk ass motherfucker crying. That's what they wanted to say. That's
wow.
What kids, that's what kids say in their mind, bro. That's what they say. Some of the bad
wow.
ones just say it out
Not
loud.
Not sure if that's what they said in their mind.
Yep.
But
that's what went down. Y'all didn't hear it. I heard it. Loved it. Everything.
You're
loved
mental
it.
Telepathy.
Yeah.
You're
I mean, I gave it a fist because of Lupita, obviously. I mean, look, this is a beautiful film starring a Black woman. I mean, come on. Black fist.
big.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, listen, Black Fist, beautiful film starring a black woman about motherhood, about black mothers. This is a movie about black mothers. New black mothers, too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I go see it.
Go see it.
Let it make more money. Go see it.
True.
Thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have links to merchandise there, which you can buy via, what is it? TeePublic. Yep. And we also have a Patreon and a Red Circle. So our exclusive podcast, bonus episodes every other week on Patreon. It helps keep this podcast free. It's just $5 a month. There are so many episodes on there. We just reviewed Rebel Ridge from Netflix. We're going to be reviewing The Deliverance, the spooky...
God.
Lee Daniels movie.
I haven't seen it. I'm excited to see it.
Okay. Check that out. you can follow me at John Braylock on Instagram and Twitter. I mean, don't follow me on Twitter, actually.
I'm on Twitter too.
And you could watch me do improv with This Is She sometimes at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles. I have show dates at johnbraylock.com.
Okay.
This Is She. You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc. Rule of Three Inc. I'm on Twitter still. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. So Rule3Inc.com. Listen, if you like comic books, you know what I'm saying? I'm selling these comic books. Oh, I'm going to be at Comic-Con probably this weekend when this comes out in a panel on Sunday, LA Comic-Con Sunday at 3:00. So I guess go to their website. I don't know.
That's what's up. That's what's up. If you're bored, this Wednesday at 7:30, come out to Bespoke. I'm doing some jokey jokes at a show called Overshare. There's a couple more shows coming up, but I am very terrible at putting them down in the calendar. So when they come up, I'll let you know.
Do one of those posts where it's like a picture of you smiling. And then it's all of your shows next.
That's
to
smart.
Do one of those.
That's smart.
Do one of those. I want to know when you've got a show.
Actually, that's very smart.
I happen to look at your story and I see a show. I want to know when you're performing. I haven't seen you perform. I haven't seen Gerard. See, we perform together, but I haven't seen Gerard perform by himself. And it's been 2 years.
Honestly,
been 2 years since I've seen Gerard perform. Because I don't be knowing until an hour before. I look at the thing.
You know what? That's right. That's on me. I gotta be better about it. I will. That's a good. I need to get a happy photo. I need to get those happy photos taken. My photos be like, my fucking life is life in right now. You know what I'm saying? But let y'all know. There's a couple coming up. Actually, it's a good amount coming up. But follow me on Instagram. Yeah, I'm over Bray. I don't be posting nothing on Twitter. But follow me on Instagram at Gerard Milligan.
All right. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Peace.